was pretty prepared this morning. As the morning goes on, I feel even more unprepared. I did make a list of children, but I miss Jacob Bontrager. And so I am so sorry, Devin Merv. I was trying to think of everybody in high school and down, and I thought, oh no, I missed one more. So is there anybody else that I missed or forgot to mention? I think he's the last one, so I wanted to be sure to mention him as well.
Okay, you're going to have to back up.
I will be reading John 15, 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away. It withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Good job, Caleb. You can just stay up here, because we're going to invite the rest of the kids forward. So, any kids that want to come on up, you can just sit on the front pew here. They all disappeared. All the hordes are in the back. I saw a whole lot more up front when Heather was here. All right. Well, I don't. The hordes in the nursery, is that? Okay. Well, for you guys. Oh, hey, Ava. What do you think this plant? Do you think this plant looks pretty healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you. I was in the kitchen this week, and I think I was just washing dishes. And this plant, we have like two windows in our whole house to get sunlight. Welcome up. And there, I was washing dishes, and Katrina came in with a scissors, and she snipped this plant basically in half. I don't know why. Excuse me. I brought the other half in just to show you. Like, this much plant she took off. Like, that's what it used to look like. And now it looks like this. And I was like, what? Why did you do that? And she had her reasons. Now, why do you think she did that? Because that's a pretty good chunk of the plant right there. She didn't want it to get too tall. Maybe that was it. What do you think? Does that piece look rotten? Like, did she get rid of that because it was nasty? Does that look bad? Looks okay, doesn't it? Yes. Nothing the matter with that. So why do you think she did that? She didn't want it to get too tall. I'll tell you, there's a hint. So see how right here there's a bloom happening? So this plant, if you look here, see these little parts right here? See those parts? What do you think those are going to turn into? Yeah. So those are buds that are about to turn into flowers. And so the reason that she snipped that off is so that the plant would stop putting energy into that piece, because that piece had already budded and the flowers were there, and now there's no flowers on that part. But the buds were right here. And so in order to get the plant to divert its energy towards these buds, you snip off that part, so that will stop growing. And now, when the sun keeps shining on these parts, it's going to look like this. And so instead of just one little orange flower, there are going to be big flowers over here. And that is called, you know what that is called when you do something like that? Haley, you just read it. It's pruning. When you prune a plant, you're not trying to stop it from growing. What you're trying to do is direct where you want the plant to grow. And so when you prune a flower, you take the energy away from the parts that aren't going to be flowers and you direct it towards it. Jesus was talking about a grapevine. So in a grapevine, you don't want flowers. You want what? Well, lots of grapes. Yeah. And so what Jesus was talking about is how gardeners prune the branches that aren't going to produce grapes, so the grapes produce the vine produces more grapes. And that's the same thing that we did with this plant. And so hopefully we'll get some nice blooms out of it. So that's the idea that we'll talk a little bit about in the sermon here this morning that Kaylee read to us, is that God prunes us sometimes. Like pruning, if you're this plant, right, and you feel that snip, probably doesn't feel too good, does it? No. So pruning is not really fun to be pruned. If you imagine ways that God might be pruning you of, you know, maybe you're not as good at something as someone else would be, and you say, God, why aren't I as good at that? God might be pruning you and saying, I don't want you to be good at this because I don't want your life path to go this way. I want your life path to go this way. So that could be God pruning you and directing your path. And so there's different ways that we can feel God's presence, and sometimes we feel God through pruning. So keep this in mind in the sermon. And if you guys want to, if you want to take that back with her as a toy, she's welcome to have that. Now that the sermon analogy is over, I have no need for the extra plant. All right, you guys can head back to your seats. Thanks for coming up. Well, thank you, Kaylee, for reading the scripture this morning. Last week we were looking at the metaphor of the good shepherd. So Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And this morning, this is the last I am statement that Jesus makes. And he makes it pretty clear. Sometimes when the metaphors that Jesus is talking about, you have to kind of like, you have to do some, a little more interpretive work to kind of figure out all what he's saying. Whereas today, there's no interpretive work to be done. He just says clearly, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, I am the vine, my Father is the gardener. And later on, he says, you are the branches. So we have this very clear, you know, the disciples shouldn't have had any questions about this. We shouldn't have any questions. This isn't one of Jesus' kind of vague teachings that we really have to dive into. He's giving a metaphor of growth, of fruit, of vine growth. And he says, God is the gardener, I am the vine, and he is the branches. Or we are the branches. And so we'll walk through this, and we'll try to pull out a couple of different teachings from it. We'll look a little bit more about the pruning aspect. But as Heather said, we're looking at this idea of hang in there. And we get that from where Jesus says, he doesn't use the word hang in there, but he says, abide with me. Abide with me. Now, that's not really the language that we use too much anymore. Abide, you know, where do you abide? Or I abide in my abode. You know, we say, I live in my house. That's what we say. You know, we don't say, where do you abide? But if you look at the Greek translation of this, it is really quite close to our modern slang, if you will, of hanging out. To abide, the Greek translation means to stay in place. Also, it can be translated as to endure or holding out. So to abide is to endure. To abide is to stay in place. So to abide in many ways is to hang in there. Hang in there. And as Heather asked the kids this morning, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I thought we had some pretty good responses. It does depend on the situation. But generally, whenever we say hang in there to someone, we usually mean that as a form of encouragement, right? If you tell someone to hang in there, generally it means, you know, they're probably going through a time of some difficulty, some time where things aren't going quite the way they want to go, whether that maybe be through work, maybe that's through a family crisis or family stress, maybe it's through a health situation, you name it. We've probably all heard people say to us, hang in there. Like, you're going through a tough time, hang in there. And we've probably all heard ourselves saying that exact same thing, hang in there. So I think it's a helpful phrase because it implies perseverance. We're telling people to persevere. We're telling people to endure. We're telling people to rely on some discipline. Don't just stop when the going gets tough. We're telling people that, you know, maybe this is not a good time to quit. Keep going. And so I think it's a helpful phrase. It's good that we need to hear that every now and then. That it's, you know, don't give up. It's worth enduring. It's worth persevering. It's worth what you're going through, because something better is coming. Now, when Jesus says this, he says, "Abide in me." He gives us a little bit more detail about this. It's not just a general hang in there, whatever situation you're in, stay there, work through it, persevere. But Jesus he fleshes out the there. Where is there? He doesn't say just hang in there. He says, abide with me. Where I am is where I want you to be. I'm the vine, you and the branch are the branches. If you will remain in me, I will remain with you, and you will bear much fruit. So he's saying, abide with me. Stay with me. Stay put. All those same things that we applied to the phrase hang in there, that idea of perseverance, the idea of endurance, discipline, of not giving up. Jesus says that all about our relationship, our ongoing fellowship and walk with him, is saying there will be difficult times. You're going, and he's doing this passage again is leading up to his death and resurrection. So he's giving this to his disciples as an encouragement, and it should be an encouragement to us as well, saying, you know, you've all in this room, even the youngest ones up here that were on the stage, have lived through difficult times in life already. You know, it can be a scale of difficulty depending on what the experience it was, but we've all had to have those times of perseverance. Jesus knew that was coming. He knew that his disciples were going to face tremendous temptation and persecution. And so he gives them this word, remain. Despite through all that, hang in there, but not just anywhere you want, but hang in there with me. Remain with me. Remain attached to me like a branch is attached to a vine. And if you remain in me, I will remain in you. And through that connection, through that relationship that is maintained through the difficult times, you will persevere. That you will see fruit. That there is something better on the other side. So we get that encouraging part. Jesus also gives us, you know, the idea, I mean, not everything's going to be easy and nice. And he says, you know, it's not just the world that kind of pushes in on us and we create the situations of temptation or these difficult things or the random events that seem to, you know, just kind of surround us at certain times and we can't control them. But he says, you know, our Father is active, the gardener is active, and he is pruning. And he is involved in our life and doing these things. So even some of these difficult situations that we might be going through could be the active hand of God in our lives, directing and guiding and forming us into the people that he wants to be. You know, at first glance, you know, if we're the branch in this analogy, just like Jesus said, we are the branches. You know, at first glance, you think, well, hey, being pruned doesn't seem like a good idea. Having someone approach you with shears and snipping off appendages or branches or leaves, you're like, okay, that sounds like a painful experience. I'd rather not do that. But we all in this room know, you know, what we talked to with the kids here is probably nothing new. You guys are all aware of gardening to some extent or having some flowers in your house or, you know, even being farmers. You recognize, you know, that is something that just has to be done. If you want a healthy garden, if you want a healthy flower, if you want a healthy crop, the pruning process, the weeding process, all those things absolutely have to happen. And so even though the experience of being pruned may not be a pleasant one, in whatever way we can experience that, we know it is a good one. And we know that it shows the good character of God. It shows us things about the gardener. It shows us that he's not an absentee God. That he's a God that is intimately involved in our lives. You can imagine the gardener walking up and down the paths and seeing each individual vine and branch and giving that individual attention as he walks. It shows God's love and care for us, that he takes the time to observe and to spend time with us and to prune us where needed. So it shows God's involvement in our lives. It shows that God knows us personally to direct us individually and to walk with us and shape us and mold us and prune us individually. God knows our potential. He knows our gifts. He's the one that gave them to us. He knows our foibles and our weaknesses, the ones that he's trying to prune out. A pruning God is a God that wants the best for us. You know, we've all, you know, you're just driving. You don't have to be a farmer, but you can drive through orchards or vineyards, and you can see right away which ones are well maintained by vigilant gardeners or vine dressers, as some scriptures say, and which ones are not. You can drive by the farm and just see, like, those fruit trees are out of control. It doesn't take an experienced or an educated eye to spot that. And the opposite is true. It doesn't take an experienced or educated eye to see that garden is in good shape. That orchard is in good shape. A pruning God wants the best for us. He doesn't want to see us growing crazy and out of control like we've seen. But He wants to prune us. He wants us to shape. He wants to shape us, to form us, and to mold us to look more like Himself, to look more like Christ. And so we should be grateful for a God that prunes. Because a God that doesn't prune would be the opposite. A God that doesn't prune us would be a God that's not involved in our lives. A God that doesn't prune us is a God that doesn't want the best for us. A God that doesn't prune us is a God that's okay with us just with growing in any direction and being looking like any person. God has desires for us that we would look more like Him. So pruning, although a difficult thing and a painful thing, is unquestionably a good thing. And then Jesus moves on and says, well, why is this pruning happening? The pruning has a purpose. The purpose is that we would bear fruit. An unpruned vine, an unpruned fruit tree, an unpruned flower won't produce as many buds, it won't produce as much fruit. It can produce some, but not nearly as much. And so what Jesus is saying is that the goal is to produce fruit that would bring honor to the Father. And so as we think about fruit, I want to do a little bit of a comparison and contrast, because I think comparing things is a great way to understand and come to a deeper understanding of things. And so I think for us, when we think about bearing fruit, I want to look at the difference between being successful and bearing fruit. What's the difference between bearing fruit and being successful? So what would be a common recipe for success? You know, if we wanted to be successful, what would be the things that we wanted to do? You know, what would be the practices of being a success? And, you know, there's so much advice out there, and there's so much out. I mean, you go to a bookstore, and you look at the areas of, you know, of success general, like well-being, leadership, development, how to do X, Y, and Z. Like, that's probably half of any given bookstore. There's so much out there, and the different writers and authors and speakers are making money off their consulting businesses about how to become a success. And we are pretty much, you know, success is what we as a culture are seeking after. And really, that's not a bad thing, right? It's good to be a culture that's successful as opposed to something that's, you know, not successful. But the typical recipe for success, you know, you need to have particular skills in whatever field that you're working on. I mean, if you don't have the skill set, you're not going to be successful. If you can't put a ball in, you're not going to be successful in basketball. Is there some feedback happening? Is that better? I'll bring this up, just maybe. Would that help? Okay. I'll turn this off.
Yeah, I'm hearing some type of test.
All right. We're on? Okay. Yeah, that sounds better. So the recipe for success, you need to have some type of skill in whatever field it is that you want to be successful in. Leadership is important. You need to have the leadership ability. You need to be able to take risks if you want to be successful. Good investments are important. Work ethic is important. You need to be able to make sacrifices for the thing that you want to be successful for. A good education, right? You need to have the knowledge of the ability to have success. You need to have good mentors. You need to be able to make right choices. You need to have come from a decent, you know, family background that has taught you how to work. You know, all these things come together, and you can achieve success in life in general or in a given field in specific. And you know all these things, and that's what it takes to be successful. You apply all these different things. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Again, don't hear me. I'm not saying these things are bad and it's, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, looking for success. That's not what I'm saying. But that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying, you know, become my followers and develop these skill sets, get this education, develop these connections with mentors and skilled people in the field, and further my kingdom. You never hear Jesus say something like that. Instead, he gives us these metaphors of things like this, where he says, there's one thing you need to do. If you want to bear fruit, you are a branch. And what is the one thing a branch can do in order to bear fruit? Stay connected to the vine. That's it. That's all he says. Stay connected to the vine. Nothing about leadership development. Nothing about higher education. Nothing about skill sets. Nothing about, he says, you're a branch. I'm a vine. God the Father is the gardener. Stay connected. And you'll bear fruit. That's very simple. Hang in there. Abide in Christ. Endure with Christ. Stay connected. That's the only way to bear fruit. All the other ways of achieving success, you can work your whole life in that and work towards that end. You can be a very, very successful person. But you can also be a person that's borne no fruit in your life. That's, you know, it's just look at some big examples. You know, some of the most successful people of our time. You think of, you know, when I was just thinking of this, three people came to my mind: Jeff Bezos, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates. Right? Those are three individuals that you could, like, no one could argue with you that they are not successful. All of them have built multi-billion-dollar companies and industries. They are incredibly successful, and they've all written their memoirs and their books about how they built their company and all these different things. You know, it's incredible what they've been able to achieve. But is that anything like what Jesus was talking about? Does that have anything to do with what Jesus is talking about here? And I would submit to you, no. Now, it's not for us to judge whether they've borne any spiritual fruit in their life. I'm not trying to pick them apart and saying, oh, they're not connected to Jesus. You know, that's not what I'm saying is, but what they've achieved in their life is completely different than what God is talking about here in this parable and in this metaphor. That is success, and that's incredible success. But what Jesus says is that you can do all those things. You can invest your whole life into that, and you can be famous and renowned and wealthy and successful. But yet, if you're not connected to Him, you're ultimately withering away. If you don't have a connection to Him, the one true vine, even though you would be swimming in your riches, you're just withering away. And it's just a matter of time before you're completely withered and you're dried up on the ground. And then it says God will collect you up and throw you in the rubbish bin and you'll be burnt like everybody else. It's not fruit that Jesus was talking about, the worldly success. We are branches. Our connection to Christ is all that we should be focused on. Branches that aren't connected are dead branches. The most successful people in the world can do that. But Jesus says in verse 8, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And we say, wait a second. People achieve all these things all over the world throughout history, and they don't show any, you know, really evidence of being connected to you. And that's what Jesus is saying. Ultimately, they've achieved nothing. Their life is a mist, here today and gone tomorrow, like a flower in the spring. It buds and then it's gone. And what Jesus is saying is, connected to Him, fruit will be born that is more important than all the money and all the fame and all the glory that this world can give you. So what does this fruit look like? What does this fruit look like? At one point, it looks the same for everyone. You know, the fruit of someone connected to the vine will always look like Jesus. It will always look like someone that is radically loving like Jesus. It will always look like sacrificial love that Jesus gives. It will always look like that radical hospitality that Jesus had. It will always look like Jesus, you know, being shared and growing around the world. That's what it will look like. And the Apostle Paul tries to describe what this fruit will look like. He gives just a whole list of words. He says, well, if you're connected to the vine and you're growing fruit, your fruit will always look like love. It'll look like joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Jesus is saying, if you're connected to me, these are the type of things that will be growing in your life. This type of radical love that's not just like the love between family members or love between friends. It's this radical self-giving love. The fruit born of someone connected to Christ will always look like that. But it can also look different for each person depending on their vocation and depending on what God has called you to. Maybe God has called you to worldly success, and maybe that's what your fruit will look like. Maybe God has called you to an incredible failure, if that is what God has called you to. And maybe, you know, that's something we don't think, like, God has called you to failure, but I'm guessing all of us in this room can say, what has been one of the most formative times in your life? Probably the times when we failed. So sometimes I think that's part of the pruning that God does, that He lets us fail. And that failure is the fruit that He wants to see because we can learn from it. It could look like leadership if that's what God has called you to. It could look like moving across the globe if that's what God has called you to. It could look like starting new churches if that's what God has called you to. You know, so in the one sense, this fruit will always look the same. You know, it will look like love. It will look like Jesus. It will look like the fruits of the Spirit. But in another sense, this fruit could look different. It could be really anything under the sun that God could call us to. So we have this dramatic, you know, similarity that we should all be modeling, but also this difference. But also, even though this fruit, I mean, that's the goal, we shouldn't have our eyes on the fruit. Our eyes should be on that connection point. Our eyes should be in the point where the branch comes into connection with the vine. And that's what Jesus says is the most important. If our eyes are on the fruit and we're saying, what am I producing? What am I doing? What am I, you know, what has my life done? Have I done X, Y, and Z? Am I fruitful? Am I successful? Jesus doesn't say those are the questions we should be asking. He says, remain in me. Maintain that connection to me. Maintain that lifelong relationship with me. Endure through that. Persevere through that. And in that, fruit will come. Maybe it's fruit you never recognize. Maybe it's fruit we will never see in this lifetime. But Jesus says, don't keep an eye on the fruit. Jesus says, keep an eye on Him. Remain in Him. Stay in Him. Keep your life in Him as He will keep His life in you. So we should have our eye on that connection. And you know, there are some times in our lives that every now and then God will just give us that glimpse of the fruit. And that's kind of the reward. But most of the time, I think we don't get to see it. And that's probably for our own good. Because if we get to see all the things we've accomplished, generally we start to think, you know, the prideful thoughts, the arrogant thoughts, the idea that I accomplished something. And then all of a sudden, God needs to prune us again. So we get those glimpses, we get those encouragement. What Jesus says here, He says, I am the true vine. And we are to focus on that connection. Abide in that connection. Remain in that connection. Every now and then we can get a glimpse of the fruit. But our main focus should be on that connection point. Let's pray. God, may we be a people that is attached to You. May the connection between us, a branch, and You, the true vine, be strong and be growing. And Lord, we do pray for good fruit to be produced amongst us as individuals and us as a community. But Lord, we recognize that our desire to see the fruit should be secondary to our desire to be connected to You. And so Lord, in Your wisdom, when You deem it appropriate for us to get a glimpse of the fruit that we've borne of either as an individual or a community, we are grateful for those times. But the majority of the time when we don't get to see that, Lord, we pray that we can hang in there, that we can abide in You, even though the fruit may look like failure, even though the fruit may look like a dry desert. In those times, Lord, we know that there's still growth happening, that there is still formation happening, and that the connection to You can still be strong. And so, Lord, whatever season we find ourselves in, whether a season of plenty or a season of want, Lord, may we keep our eye on You, may we keep our connection strong, and may we stay living in You, abiding in You, and hanging on to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm in the music group, so I invite you, the musicians, to come forward and everyone else to stand and turn to page 522.